Down to brass tacks. Good afternoon. I was talking earlier about a conversation I had with a lady who said that she lost one of her relatives recently to COVID. And while we were talking about what the family experienced and the lack of adequate information, she did say to me that there was one person who really stood out. And I could easily tell her based on my own experience, the name of that person, because this is one of the doctors working at Harrison Point. And I think I should say that the experience that she related to me and what I can remember from my own experience suggests that Dr. Addison St. John is a guy who really needs to be commended for the approach that he has been adopting in communicating with families who have had loved ones at the Harrison Point. I think that in many instances, you know, we talk about the things that are wrong, but we also need to recognize and commend people when they have been doing it the way that they believe it should be done. So I want to commend him. I'm sure there must be others who are doing likewise, and we want to give them our thanks and support as well. This is down to brass tacks. This person writes, why is it that we are opening restaurants and the like if there's nobody there to patronize the business? Since we are all supposed to stay home, it just doesn't add up. How on earth is this going to work? Can you please tell me what you think? Well, I want to know too. I mean, if you say that the people are supposed to stay home, I don't see how they can stay home and go to your restaurant too. But unless you're going to be able to say, well, you know, since the restaurant is open, I have permission. But the more important issue here is this. Why is it that so many other parts of the country are closed? And will you not go to run the risk of being accused of being contradictory if in the same breath you say people can go to restaurants? This is down to brass tacks. So the person says that they find that the last set of directives are ambiguous and tedious, and they do assert that they understand the need for protocols. While I understand the need to wear masks, I find that I'm getting some bad headaches in recent times. I'm sure the masks are responsible, and I wear them for 9 hours a day. What's the alternative? Perhaps none, without running afoul of the law, but I believe we're going to have some serious consequences resulting from the constant use of masks. I follow the protocols and mask up, but I find them to be almost unbearable. You follow the science on this though. There are people who will have some difficulty, but in the main, I haven't seen anything to suggest that having people mask up is creating a major problem for people who are wearing the mask. But I understand your particular situation where you may well be one of those who is having a problem. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good afternoon, Miss Ellis. How are you doing?
Yes, good afternoon.
How are you doing today?
I am okay, you know.
All right. There were two questions I want to ask you. The guy from the teachers union, Mr. Pedro Shepherd. You could remember seeing a statement with him saying that the teachers burned out or they didn't know what they're doing. Well, okay, how the papers here. But what we want is, when would it be right for the children to go back to school in his opinion?
I can't speak for him.
But he's saying September. What's the big about September? Honestly, and true, if them don't want to work, I hope that the Minister of Education stand her ground and let them do what they want to do. And then whatever consequences, they will have to accept. But this is foolishness. But them, like, they don't want to come work. In my opinion, the claiming that the children get in trouble with the online thing, they ain't getting. I still don't want to come. Come out and try something. Come and try a thing. Then Mr. Edward Clark. Oh my God! But when hear his name calling, you know what he's saying? They ain't ready yet. Whenever will the employers be ready to pay workers' money, Miss Ellis?
Well, I think that everybody and most people in the country would agree that there is a need to look at the national the minimum wage. However, this is about timing. This is not disagreement in principle, but it is about the timing. And I mean, if you believe that at a time when the tourist industry has been savaged by COVID, that we can actually afford to impose a minimum wage, then that's your belief, if you know. But most people who are looking at this objectively and not necessarily dealing with the emotion of how many poor people there are out there, what the cost of living has gone up by, and that sort of thing, saying, look, but it is the timing of it. How the good businesses that have been shut down, some of them last year, some of them again this year, then the ripple effect of tourism, because if you don't have the tourist industry, a whole set of other businesses in Barbados are under pressure. There are businesses that are now on the brink of collapse. I mean, it would be interesting, you know, I don't remember seeing the total number of Barbadians that are said to be working for less than the minimum wage. Or
all right,
the 850 that is being proposed right now.
So not crossing,
it'd be interesting to find out how many of there are many people fall into that category. You know,
but there are a lot of companies that are paying people more than the 850 an hour.
So there are a lot of companies that are doing. You said there are a lot of companies.
Want to give a number of the amount of people that are on the line. But all he's saying is no, not no. But
he didn't only say not no. He said put it off until sometime a little later when the companies can be given a little bit more breathing space to recover and to be in a, and would then be in a better position to afford it. That's what his argument is.
But look at Proper Pork, that's part of them organization, come and say $10. He would pay his people $10. He would raise
it. But you know, the truth of the matter is that there's nothing stopping a man who believes that the minimum wage should be $10, something is staff $10. If that's, you know, absolutely nothing to stop him from paying $10.
But you feel he can pay $10?
That's, well, I mean, he has to determine what he can afford. I can't say so. But there is nothing to stop him from saying, look, is $8.50 officially?
Yeah.
Well, I am going to set the lead by paying $10.
Honest, to be honest, if I had a company, I would pay my workers good. Most business workers are honest and hardworking, most of them. And as an employer, as long as you treat workers good and fairly, my little workers will do anything at all for you. But them that won't pay this, they won't pay that. That we love busy boy. Busy. I feel busy is more black man than white man. Busy man looking for his people. And his people looking for he. And that's what we call a good employer.
You see, there are other people in this country who would be seen as good employers, but they are not high profile people. They're not people that you see in the press. You don't know.
Yeah,
but unfortunately, what happens in this argument is that all the rest of them are treated as though they're the scum of the earth. Mm-hmm. And only a few people that you know about are the ones that are elevated to hero status as it relates to how they treat workers. You know, when you finish discarding all of these other players as the scum of the earth and treating people badly. You know, what happens is that they are all painted with this negative brush. They are all exploitative, you know. Sometimes the people who are making the claims are the head ones who employ people, and when the people are ready to get paid, don't pay them a cent. You know, get involved in contracts and stuff like that that are not written. All right, and when you're looking for the fella, to the person comes to you now looking for the money to be paid, can't find you.
Yep. All right.
But you can be here on the radio, not you personally. People that come on radio and run the thing and they talk big about people being exploited. And you know what? Sometimes they are the cheap ones responsible for behaving like that.
Yeah, true, that's a fact. But my dad had a holiday later on, so thanks for entertaining me.
All right. Down to brass tacks.
Good afternoon, Miss Alice.
Yes, hi.
Hi. Continuing from the minimum wage aspect, I agree with you 100% because some can say they can't do it now because of the circumstances, but when you check for the years from back, I can talk from my experience, from back in 1999, the university began $650, which was $50, no, $750, which was $50. This $850 can only carry like a $10. And if for all these years, the companies never even seem to push, which, you know, a businessman ain't gonna push to pay his workers more. But if you care about your workers, you should at least, you know, set a standard. But I listen to a TV station. Like, I don't know if I'm able to call it, but so I'm calling it last night. And I wanted to ask the question, why is it that some business people don't even look to push to raise the rate for their own workers? That the government they know got to force and say, well, $8.50, and them going for minimum wage. They going, you don't know that a cost of living has skyrocketed tremendously. But fear now is for four trips, it is $17, I think it's $17 or $14. That one sounds right. $17, $14. And when you pay that day out of your daily pay, when you really check it out, you still ain't carrying home nothing. When NAS didn't get tackled, you ain't carrying home nothing. Then NAS does raise it on premiums, so you still got to pay a little more for NAS. So, I mean, it's supposed to be some sort of consideration to, for them to now come and say that they may want to raise it now because of the thing. Why you cannot say that you want to raise it before when everything was flourishing for you? You want to
look.
It is. All right, let me listen to you, yeah.
It's been a long time for many companies in Barbados, when they last could say that things were running well. There are two sides to this coin. You're only hearing one part of it, which is people cannot live on the wages that they are getting at the moment. And we understand that. But you know that the people who are saying that are not saying to the people who are getting the money that there is something else that goes with that. That if you are to get this additional money, you got to be working with the company that employs you to see to what extent it can get additional business to support the additional costs.
Uh-huh.
Nobody talks about these things, and really is unfortunate to hear the one-sided perspective on this at all types of levels in Barbados. Because ultimately, a business is not going to survive if it is not able to increase its productivity and its efficiency and that sort of thing.
Which is true.
So the two of them go hand in hand. They say, look, we understand that you need to get more to live, but you can help your company put you in a better position by looking for ways to improve the efficiency of the place and the productivity. But this is a discussion that says only one thing matters, that's increasing the minimum wage. These are among the poorest of the poor, and you need to look after them. We accept that. We accept that. But, you know, the bigger picture is, where is Barbados going after COVID? What are we going to do? We're borrowing money left, right, and center. We're not earning our way in this world.
True.
The narrative has got to be more about that than this sidebar about just the minimum wage. And that issue of productivity and raising the quality of what we do goes way beyond the person who is earning the minimum wage. It touches each and every one of us. So that's to me that's missing in all of this. And instead what we have is a large number of people who do the normal thing, sit down by the sidelines and curse business people left, right, and center, with a few exceptions, to suggest that all business people are about is exploiting somebody. Because the nature of business is exploitation.
I understand.
When you work for government, what's happening?
You just gotta accept with the gear, but
Who exploits whom?
That is true. That is true. But in all, it's supposed to be some sort of consideration. We understand business, but we when we go out to work, we give of our best. The only way that we can see any thank you is through our pay. But as cost of living, it always will be a burden. Yes, then you will see, you know the rumors you will hear, boss man driving big car, blah, blah, blah. Yes, he made his sacrifices and start his business. But still, it's supposed to be a level of consideration to your workers. If your business is improving, have a profit, you know, don't just keep it and think continue the same way, because it can still look like you're selfish. Because people working in your company can see your growth. They know your growth. They will know your expenses. They will know your overheads. They will know everything. But just share it with them when times are good. Don't keep people working at the same thing for years. Don't people that have been a career. Yeah,
but there are other factors inside there. How many people who are paying people these small wages are also saddled by the taxes that have been imposed by successive administrations in Barbados, who will justify it on the basis that Barbados is structured in such a way that the government has to build roads and provide education and provide this and that. Mind you, on many occasions, people also believe that the government takes the taxpayers' money and wastes it on some of these projects. And at the end of the day, it is passed on to the same business people, you know, and they have to accept it. And it is viewed in total isolation. The price that is paid for the labor is viewed in total isolation of all the other overheads, including taxation, that have been responsible for that. And remember this, where the government has reduced corporation taxes, indirect taxation has gone up considerably.
Yeah.
So, you know, so, I mean, all of that needs to be factored in when you discuss this thing. It's not one thing without the next. And I just come out in defense of private sector, having been a private sector person all my life, almost all of my life, because I worked for a short period at a statutory corporation. And, you know, to me, what is bothersome is the one-sided nature and the bashing of private sector that takes place all the time. And that inhibits not only the big players, the white business people in Barbados, but it inhibits even the small players from getting forward. Because when they employ people, the people see them as just, sometimes they see the black players as being more exploitative than the white players in Barbados. and it is a major hurdle that needs to be crossed. And what bothers me is that some of the people who are making the public utterances, on the one hand, they say what they want to say about the business people and project them in a negative light. And on the next, they're coming to you and then telling you how important you are to the national development and stuff like that. They don't put the two of them together. They play to one gallery today, the next gallery tomorrow. But because they are reinforced by trade unions and by other people in the country, the lopsided perspective on business prevails. So that's one view, not the only view. More from you all today. This is Down to Brass. Good afternoon and welcome to the continuation of Down to Brass Tacks. The subject of minimum wage will produce various arguments. And you've heard my concerns about how the private sector is portrayed in a country which I consider to be, generally speaking, anti-business people unless they come from abroad. I say that without any reservation. We have a way of accepting and opening up our arms to people from over and away. But when it comes to business, indigenous business, there is often a language that is, and a tone that is totally different. This person says, though, regarding the raising of the minimum wage, notwithstanding any increases in operation costs and drop in demand, are businesses willing to take a lesser profit margin, not to the point where they're just breaking even? Corporate taxes have been reduced. Indirect taxes have been passed on to the consumer. Also, only a fraction of the workforce will benefit from the increase in the minimum wage. These people work largely in gas stations, supermarkets, security, general workers, nursing homes, to mention a few, says the writer. Generally, business has not fallen off for such establishments. So I see nothing wrong with raising the minimum wage. The only thing that I consider to be a little dangerous in the way that you have couched this is that there are some unknowns in there. Even you concede that there is that unknown. Generally, business has not fallen off for such establishments. Who says that business has not fallen off for such establishments? Where is the proof of that? Indirect taxes have been passed on to the consumer. How can you specifically be able to say how much of that has been passed on to the consumer? Because there are things that businesses also absorb because they feel that if they pass them on to the consumer, it will make them less competitive. So I hear what you're saying, but personally, I think we need to be better informed on what these numbers are. We don't have that. And unfortunately, a lot of the discussion about important issues lacks those specifics. Maxine McLean has written to us saying, I've been trying to make sense of all of the instructions read the Easter weekend. If I understand it correctly, my son cannot come with and go and have lunch with my sister and family. Let us say 10 persons would be involved, but all of us can respond to an ad I just received to spend Easter at the beach at a hotel offering a staycation. Meanwhile, I've been shopping for my sister who is over 70 and going to her house once weekly to deliver groceries, etc. We'll also do so this week. But I cannot go to her house to have a meal knowing how and by whom it was prepared. I will do so knowing who cooked the meal. Sadly, if I do, I understand that I run the risk of some ridiculous penalties. Meanwhile, I can book an Easter staycation and take her, my son, and whoever else. Am I missing something? She writes. Down to Brass Tacks. I just saw a statement here coming out of, it looks as though it came out of St. Lucia. I'm trying to ascertain exactly who put it out because the person who sent it to me did not say from whom it came. But it said, yesterday's meeting was called to appraise agencies on the status of the volcanic situation in St. Vincent and the Grenadines. and to look at how we can proceed to assist them and respond to our local needs should we be impacted. The statement goes on to say that La Soufriere shows signs that there will likely be an explosive eruption soon based on information received from the scientists. St. Vincent and the Grenadines is asking the islands who have pledged support to prepare to receive evacuees. We also have to respond to locals in from Denry to Soufriere, that would be in St. Lucia, depending on the wind direction. With regards to ash fall, air quality issues, tsunami. And they talk about shelters for locals have been identified in certain areas, and shelter teams should be evacuated in St. Lucia. Now, there was a story on circulating around here, which was stated in the news about people feeling some kind of earth tremor earlier this morning. And it would not be far-fetched to expect that what is happening with the La Soufriere volcano and St. Vincent and the Grenadines may well be linked to that. We perhaps should be asking some questions about, you know, how vulnerable is Barbados in all these circumstances. The last time the La Soufriere volcano erupted, it created a lot of ash all over Barbados, but it didn't appear to go beyond that. So, but countries like St. Lucia are certainly paying a lot more attention to this. Perhaps they're looking at it from the point of view of proximity, but we're pretty close as well. So we haven't had much discussion on that, but I think it is an important development. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.